On this episode of Acoustic Tuesday, you're going to learn about the next guitar wonder gadget, find out what I'm currently listening to, get a really stellar, almost ninja tip on bar chords, and of course, the bourbon and scotch battle will wage on. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday. Happy Acoustic Tuesday to you, where I shed a little bit of light on my guitar geeky ponderings for the week. And let me just first start out by saying Acoustic Tuesday would not be possible if it weren't for Noah Jacob Heckman Jr. the first, and of course, Levi Coelho, the man with the technical plan.
Hello.
I am just happy to be here with these fellows, these friends, enjoying a little bit of a dram, if you will.
Which I will.
Tastes fantastic.
Wonderful.
This it's a good dram today.
Very it is.
Cheers,
it is.
Fellas.
More on that a little bit later. Okay. Cheers to you, Levi. We've selected some specific drinks today, which we'll shed a little light on later. But let's dive right into the guitar geekiness, shall we? First up on my list is a guitar that I want to add to my guitar arsenal. I say this because I know when a guitar wants to come into my guitar arsenal, by when I have dreams about the guitar. And just the other night, I had a dream about a Collings D1A. And this dream prompted me to go on Collings' site and kind of go through the custom shop, as I occasionally do. And lo and behold, what did I find? Well, I found a Collings D1A with a torrified top that just had my jaw on the floor. This guitar just oozes bluegrass powerhouse. It's simple, it's stately, but you know underneath the hood is just a raging beast ready to destroy any banjo, mandolin, fiddle, or anything really that comes its way. Now let me tell you why the Collings D1A in particular. I've played a couple new D1As, and I'm always struck by how consistent they are, number one, but number two, how powerful they truly are. For a solid mahogany back and sides and a spruce or a Adirondack spruce top in this case, they just have this unbelievable power that it doesn't even take much pick pressure, much pick strength at all to get notes to come out of the guitar. But add a torrified top to the standard D1A and you've got yourself just a majestic acoustic beast, really, is what you have. The torrification process, for those of you who might not be familiar, is a slow baking of the spruce top, which essentially crystallizes the resins inside and simulates age. So what we have here is a D1A that potentially could sound 50 plus years old. And that really sounds like a winner in my book. Now, granted, I like the new ones, and I'm seriously considering a new one, but if I had my druthers, and if I was to pick up my next guitar tomorrow, I would venture a call to the Collings Custom Shop and say, hey guys, Tony here, I want a D1A with a torrified top. The one on their site is just absolutely gorgeous. You're seeing it in the pictures, and it's been haunting my dreams. Well, they're not nightmares. Can it haunt dreams? It's haunting me,
yeah,
and I'm having dreams about it.
You can say haunting.
Okay.
Yeah.
But haunting dreams seems odd.
I understand.
Okay.
It's almost as if the guitar is pursuing you.
Thank you. And for those of you looking for an excuse to purchase a new guitar, feel free to use Noah's wonderful excuse. Hey, I'm sorry I brought this new guitar home. The guitar was pursuing me. It's really the guitar's fault. Speaking of purchasing new guitars, I love Chicago for many reasons. I grew up just outside of Chicago. I went to school downtown Chicago, spent a lot of time in Chicago. My son currently lives in Chicago. Hi, Aiden. And I was a guitar geek back then, a budding young guitar geek, ready to soak up any guitar geekiness that I possibly could. And what better place in Chicago to do that than the Chicago Music Exchange, a store you must put on your list as a guitar geek to check out. the Chicago Music Exchange on Lincoln Avenue. It's on the north side of town, just a little bit, I want to say, south of Wrigley Field. I might have my directions confused. It's been a long time. But yeah, the Wrigleyville neighborhood, and it's just over a little bit. Lincoln's a diagonal street, so maybe it's southwest. I don't know. It's on Lincoln Avenue. And it's an absolutely gorgeous shop. Gorgeous shop. And let me tell you, my first impression, let me first back up. Chicago Music Exchange used to be located in this tiny little storefront. It is now expanded into a gorgeous, gorgeous old bank with super high ceilings. I'm talking three rows of guitars all over the shop. Three rows, meaning it has a bottom one, a middle one, and a top one. And these are not just new guitars. These are guitars that are of pristine quality. They're amazing vintage guitars. Not all of them. They have new guitars too. Oh, the Weeble Wobbles are getting out of control. They have new ones too, but their bread and butter is vintage guitars. And I gotta tell you, they have the most exquisite collection. And that's just when you walk in. For you acoustic guitar geeks, for us acoustic guitar geeks, they literally have an entire wing of their store dedicated to acoustic guitars with some comfy leather couches. Again, three rows, bottom, middle, and top of Martin, Collings, Santa Cruz, Godin, Larrivée. I mean, name a brand and you pretty much can find it there. You have to check this store out if you ever find yourself in Chicago. If you ever find yourself just kind of swinging through for the night, maybe a flight or something stops there and you have a night to kill, go to Chicago Music Exchange. You will not be disappointed. In fact, you may very well not leave. And in fact, Noah, a guitar might start pursuing them once they visit Chicago Music Exchange.
Without a doubt. A guitar will pursue them. The question is which one.
That's correct. I mean, I got to tell you, it's one of those things, it's kid in a candy store kind of a thing. Even if you go there without the intention of buying a guitar, you will be amazed at the collection. It's simply a must stop, a mecca for guitar geeks, if you will. So you have to make the pilgrimage. If you're ever in Chicago, just go there. You will not be disappointed. And truly, you can't miss it. It's enormous. So, you guys might be wondering what I'm listening to. And I want to share this with you. There's a little bit of a backstory. A couple years ago now, a year and a half ago, I went to Boise to go see the Milk Carton Kids, an acoustic duo that I absolutely love. I mean, talking rich harmonies, just wonderful, wonderful songwriting. So I go to the Egyptian Theater in Boise. I sit down in the very front row, and this gal comes out on stage, one microphone, an amazingly cool vintage, kind of a funky guitar, and she started to sing, and I was blown away. In fact, Whitney was with me, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, why have we not heard of this person? And this person was Caitlin Canty, and the current album that I'm listening to at length is Reckless Skyline by Caitlin Canty. In particular, the tune My Love For You Will Not Fade. The beautiful thing about this album is that it goes from a whisper to a roar. It has just unreal dynamics, and what really shines through, regardless whether it's a band situation or just a guitar and voice, is Caitlin's songwriting. So you'll hear the tune that I'm loving right now. Levi's gonna play a little snippet. My love for you will not fade. My love for you will not fade. The pen is only for the paper. The ink aches for the page. The water wants to be a river. My love for you will not fade. My love for you will not fade. My love for you is not faded. Thank you. it. That's Caitlin Canty. And I have to be honest with you, I want you to get this album just for the sheer reason that you will love it. If you love acoustic music and you love good songwriting, Caitlin Canty is a perfect fit. And definitely check out the album Reckless Skyline. She has a newer one out as well, but hey, it's what I'm listening to this week, and that happens to be the album. Now, I want to share with you guys what I think the next guitar wonder gadget is, and also, I want to show you the snippet of this bar chord lesson, but first, we've got to do some small wins, Noah.
I'm ready.
I can see you getting them all prepped over there.
I'm looking at them right now.
So, shall we do this? Should we do some small wins?
Let's do some small wins.
Let's do it.
Right, we got Charles E. Says, I think I am starting to figure this improvisation thing out. First time I have enjoyed playing along with a backing track.
Wow, that's killer. That's a great little, that's a great step in the progression.
Huge in playing, like, just improvising.
Yeah.
That takes guts. Christina M. Finally got the F bar chord. Right.
I mean, perfect timing.
I can't get to it in a hurry, but it sounds clean.
That's awesome.
No dead strings. I moved my pointer finger right on top of the fret wire instead of right before it, and that helped me get the pressure down with my wussy fingers.
It's possible with wussy fingers. That's a fantastic small one. Good job.
Andy A., today I learned I could read tab while playing a lick and using the metronome. At a very slow pace. But hey, we all got to start somewhere.
That's
progress.
Right. That's a huge, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the old patting your head and rubbing your belly, or is it the other way?
No, that's right. You can do either.
Okay.
Pat the head, rub the belly. Pat the belly, rub the head.
Okay.
Okay. Charles A., jammed with my son for the first time this past weekend.
That's cool. Outstanding. That's like, when you can make the music a family affair, I mean, that's a huge win. Cheers to that. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I can't get my kids to jam with me. all right, and last small win for today, Rachel S. Never thought I'd record songs that I wrote. Recorded my first original album.
That's very
holy
cool.
cow!
Big accomplishment.
That's a huge accomplishment.
It is just. That's kind of like a big vulnerable thing when you write a tune, record it, and just kind of like put it out in the world for people to hear.
Oh yeah.
Kudos. That's outstanding.
Yeah, man, you know, come to think of it, a lot to do with music requires guts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Pretty much everything, because you're making sound
right.
that other people can hear.
Yeah.
I remember, I have to share a quick story, because I hope you have a story like this, because I don't want to feel like a complete wacko. When I was first playing, it was important that people kind of heard me but didn't see me play. So I would literally sit in the garage at the time that I started. I was a huge metalhead. I had a BC Rich Mockingbird.
Nice.
I would crank my amp and just play this 12-bar blues over and over and over again, just crossing my fingers, hoping that a neighbor could hear me and would maybe ask me if I played guitar, because I wasn't quite ready to admit to the world that I wanted to be a guitar player.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you just play that conversation in your head, like, okay, Jerry's going to come over?
Yeah.
Hey, did I hear you playing guitar last
exactly.
night? And you're just like, you're just imagining like, yeah.
Yeah, I play a little bit.
That is exactly it.
I dabble.
And it's so funny because, I mean, at a certain point, you can only play the one thing that I knew so long. I mean, so after an hour and a half, you just kind of phone it. You just kind of, you're done. You're just like, okay, well, I really hope somebody heard that. Thank you for painting that picture in my mind, Levi. That was actually took me right back. That was perfect.
You know what else takes guts?
What?
Launching a Kickstarter.
I agree.
Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right. Which brings me to my next item of ultimate acoustic guitar geekiness. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be on the leading edge of a new product that could quite possibly make guitar players across the world make it easier for them to work on their guitar? And when you're done working on your guitar, you can display it. Well, enter Dave Summerfield and the Personal Guitar Workshop. Now, I have to say this. I don't know Dave. I know he lives close by because I did a little research on his Kickstarter campaign. I don't know Dave. I just stumbled across this thing, and I think it's super cool. And I think he's got a killer idea, especially for those of us who like to work on our guitar and then have a stand to put it in so it doesn't fall over or the cat doesn't knock it down. In my case, a huge 120-pound dog. So I want you guys to take a look at this Kickstarter. If you feel inspired, shoot Dave a message, donate to the campaign, just know about it, share it with your friends. I think you'll dig it. So Levi, cue the video.
Hi, I'm Dave Summerfield. Let me introduce you to the Personal Guitar Workshop. Enthusiasts around the world invest hundreds, even thousands of dollars into their guitars, but when it comes to working on the neck or frets, restringing, polishing, refurbishing, and general repairs, there has been nothing to use until now. Introducing the Personal Guitar Workshop. The PGW is a solid foundation that has been engineered to securely and yet gently hold your guitar in any position necessary to perform your work. With non-reactive rubber contact points and a soft leather guard pad, the PGW will never harm your guitar while work is done. Five simple adjustments can hold virtually all guitars, including acoustic, electric, and many other stringed instruments. And when the work is done, the PGW slides easily into the provided stand to display your beloved guitar.
No, I'm sorry, I have to laugh. I'm gonna change Levi's nickname instead of the man with the technical plan, which he indeed is. I'm gonna call him Levi Quick Draw Kawila.
That one was a little tough. I was trying to give you the go sign, but I had my scotch in my hand, and so I was like looking with one hand and like trying to tell you to go, and I had the scotch. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to explain the product, you know, Dave's Personal Guitar Workshop, and all of a sudden I'm like, Levi, roll the video, go. And you were just like, oh God. So Levi, Quick Draw, Kawila, great job.
McQuila.
On the technical front. McQuila?
Quick Draw.
McQuila.
I might have to get the gun sound effect so I can point at the camera and be like,
just do something. That Yosemite Sam, like, ooh. Anyway.
All right. Okay, good chat.
Yeah, good chat. So speaking of Quick Draw, which this actually has nothing to do with the next thing. Last week, this is something in all seriousness I want you to be aware of. As guitar players, especially as acoustic guitar players, bar chords are almost like a curse word. We get fuzzy F chords. We get buzzy B chords. It hurts our hands. Bar chords aren't fun, especially if you're just learning them, especially if you're trying to get them into a song and you're not super comfortable with them. So last week, I made a lesson specifically focused on how to make your bar chords cleaner. I gave you three tips on how to make your bar chords cleaner. In fact, one of them that I isolated for you, and we're going to play it here in a second, is kind of I call it a secret ninja tip because it actually involves your picking hand. So I want you guys to check this out. So Levi, would you please roll that? The second thing I want to share with you is something that's a little bit, well, it's just not so obvious. Actually, you're going to use your picking hand, more specifically your picking arm, to make your bar chords cleaner. Here's how you do it. So bar chords, again, involve a lot of strength. And really, truly, our left hand only has so much strength to give. And if you do bar chords for a long time, it gets fatigued rather quickly. But it's not all up to your fretting hand. You might be one of those players that just struggles with getting consistent bar chords because of the strength factor. And what you can do is take your picking hand, again, more specifically your arm, and where your arm comes over the guitar, use it to kind of push on your guitar. See, if I kind of pull in tight here with my picking hand arm, it's pushing the guitar neck forward. Well, that's the kind of action you want. You want to push with your picking hand and pull with your fretting hand. This is going to give you a really solid feel on your fretting hand and ultimately better contact with the entire bar chord and a much cleaner execution of the bar chord. So now, hopefully you enjoyed that bar chord tip lesson. The bar chord lesson with the tip that I just shared. I was about to pour and Levi pointed at me that we were about to come back. So since I'm so rudely pouring without you guys, Well, since you guys don't like bourbon anyway, I just wanted to share with you guys what I'm currently drinking during today's episode of Acoustic Tuesday. It is the Four Roses Single Barrel, and this is from the, of course, Four Roses Distillery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. And I gotta be honest, it's really delicious. I'm really enjoying it.
Do you have
it.
Any
I just
tasting
cracked
notes
the bottle
for
today.
Us?
Yeah,
tasting notes.
I will give you mine. I read the label. It said pear. I don't get pear. I get a fruitiness, but pear isn't what I would call it. It has a light spice. It's very smooth. As far as the smell, it's got a little bit of astringency, but nothing too crazy overpowering. And it's got this oakiness and like a real light vanilla. This
nice
is
description. I do have to. I mean, that's a good description. I can get. I mean, that's I. All I have is that it tastes good. It's a little smoky and smooth. You know? Like, what are you drinking, Noah?
Yeah, Noah, share with us, will you?
Yeah. So Tony, today I'm having the Ardbeg Kelpie.
Mm.
Okay. And so the Kelpie is one of Ardbeg's limited editions.
Okay.
Right? So it's not one of the ones that they generally produce. So this is a special edition. And as some people might know, Ardbeg is from the island of Islay, you know, off the coast of Scotland. So it's right next to the sea. So people who are familiar with it, you know, will know that it generally will be peated. So it has a smokiness. And Ardbeg is known to be, you know, one of the brands of scotch that is really smoky. But what I like about this Kelpie is it takes that deep smoke that you know, scotch drinkers would like. But adds more of that kind of seaside, you know, saline, kind of seaweed, if you will, flavor to it, and it balances out a little bit. So I'm really enjoying this.
So Noah is drinking, just to recap, smoky seaweed water, and I'm having a delicious vanilla oaky blend of bourbon.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Noah,
to put. So,
speaking of since we're on the bourbon and scotch topic.
Yes.
Would you care to share what the Battle of Bourbon and Scotch is all about?
Yeah. I've rehearsed this 1,000 times. And so I got it. So
okay.
It's real simple.
Okay.
Okay. You are a bourbon man. I am a scotch guy. Okay. So we're going to have a battle of darts.
Okay.
And if you win, I have to buy a bottle of bourbon for you, but we share it together.
Okay.
And vice versa. If I win, you buy a bottle of scotch for us to share that you will drink with me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a fantastic synopsis. Now, before we enter today's battle of bourbon and scotch, I'd like to update you all on not only the current score, but the scoring history, if you will. The current score, I am at a 32, and we are on week 3 right now. And Noah is at a 10. And in week 1, I shot a 12. Noah shot a respectable 1. Week 2, I shot a 20. Noah upped his game a little bit and shot a 9, which brings us to where we're at right now. 32 to 10. Bourbon has a 32. Scotch has a 10.
Ooh.
Now, I want the battle of bourbon and scotch to wage on. So with that being said, let's play some cards.
All right, guys, it is time. When I give you the word, Noah, it'll be time to throw your dart, but not yet, okay? We just looked at the at the dartboard cam, and I think we're going to go back right now and go ahead and take your shot. Oh! Oh, you poor son of a gun. Oh, my gosh. Man, I'm sorry.
And I've been practicing.
I know, and I was actually nervous. When Noah went up to the board just now, I was nervous because before we sat down to shoot this, he was throwing darts like a maniac. Noah shot a 5. I know you guys probably saw it on the dart cam. And I'm gonna go ahead and shoot right now.
Let's do it, Tony.
All right.
Tell me when we're ready.
Doesn't matter, you'll throw another 20. Go ahead.
Okay, we're ready.
All right, here we go.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a good story. I like it. I like it.
I had a theory earlier, and I think it's proving.
Well, I'm going to take some notes.
Yes.
I shot a 5 as well. Noah shot a 5. Which brings the current score to myself at 37 and Noah at 15, with only 1 week left of the Battle of Bourbon and Scotch.
I'm still in the game.
What's
your
theory,
still in
Noah?
The game.
What's your theory?
Well, see, my theory was he made this comment earlier when we were just practicing with one dart that it feels better when we throw the round of three because you feel like you can kind of go off your first throw.
Absolutely.
Right. So when we were practicing with one dart, I would throw one and then he would pretty much follow my throw. So not only does he follow his own first throw, he follows someone else's first throw.
Okay. I gotcha.
I would say that the proof is in the pudding. Last week we can take as an example. You shot a 9, I shot a 20. But hey, you know, that's okay. This is all in good fun. It's not like we're competitive at all. So I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us on this Acoustic Tuesday. But before, I've got more things in store. I got a little sneak peek of next week. And Noah's got some comments. And speaking of comments, I want to know what you thought of today's episode. What'd you love? What did we miss? What did we forget? Please let us know in the comments below. And of course, if you feel up to it and you want to, say, chime in on the Battle of Bourbon versus Scotch, please, I would urge you in your comments below, leave us a little note. What do you like more, bourbon or scotch? And why don't you specify if you want to even take it to that degree? So Noah, I'm gonna just have you do the honors and share some comments from last week's episode.
Yeah, so first I'm just gonna give a shout out to those who jumped in and were making comments, and then awesome. I'll highlight a few.
Killing.
All right, so just wanna give a shout out to Dustin and Patrick, Julie, Rode, Oswaldo, Matthew, Becky, Michelle, D. Nelson, Michael, Matt, Daniel, Jeffrey, Dwayne, Scotty, Robert, Chubb, Chuff, Luca, John, Randy, Francis, Keith, Rick, Mary, and many, many more. And so let me pull out a couple comments here. All right, so Julie B. Commenting on last week's show, episode number 2, she says, thanks for the potpourri of information. I really like the, quote, what I'm listening to, end quote, section. Awesome. It gives me a chance to hear something new.
Cool.
All right, now we have a comment from Snowqual Me's mom. some of those handles. I see why I put this one in here. Forgot to add, I vote for Scotch. Glenthroes 95 is my current favorite. Also, if you ever have a chance to attend a whiskey fest, it's pricey, but a great way to sample over 300 pours.
Wow.
And yes,
ooh, that sounds like fun.
And yes, there is plenty of whiskey absorbing buffet food all night.
I was going to say, 300 pours.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could maybe hit 250.
Okay. All right, Rode says, the show is so much fun. So far, the comments have all come up with good ideas and questions. Can't wait for next week.
Awesome.
Thank you, Rode. Oswaldo says, this show is definitely making my life better. Tonight, you know, meaning after the show, I knew a good artist, a marvelous book, and I had to laugh with your awesome sense of humor. Thank you very much for your efforts, guys.
Awesome.
And last one out there from Daniel S., Scotch is far better. LOL.
Interesting. Well, just in response to that comment, Noah should really up his game then, if Scotch is that much better.
See, I don't have to. That's how better it is. I'm going to lose, and I'm still going to win.
Well, let me say this. I want to thank you guys for leaving your comments. And again, I just want to encourage you to leave more comments on today's episode. I read through all of them. I've really loved interacting with everybody. So please, please leave comments and say hi. I appreciate you watching today. And of course, Acoustic Tuesday is going to air again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it here on YouTube or on Facebook. And just a quick sneak peek for next week. We're going to look at some wonderful creations from National Resophonic Guitars. And I had to check my notes. I found a new humidification system that I think you need to know. So until next week, keep on picking and grinning. Make sure to have small wins. Make sure to enjoy yourself a wonderful drink every now and again. I would highly recommend the Four Roses Single Barrel Bourbon. And until next week, cheers, and have a wonderful rest of the week.
The wind, it glances off the lake. Autumn's putting up a good old fight. My love for you will not fade. My love for you will not fade. The pen is only for the paper. The ink aches for the page. The water wants to be a river. My love for you will not fade.